Welcome. You are listening to C3 Hobart Online. We are so glad that you have joined us today. If this message impacts you in any way, please don't hesitate to contact us. We hope you enjoy this message.
Wonderful morning. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful morning. The house is warm. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful morning, Lord. As we come to you, Father Lord, we empty ourselves so that you fill us up, Father. We pray, Father Lord, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will flow, and so that your children, Father Lord, will live not the same way they came in. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. You may take your seat. Praise the Lord. Great. Oh, what a wonderful morning to be in the presence of God. It's going to be exciting. The Lord is going to visit people this morning. He's going to touch many. He's going to lead, heal the sick. He's going to do a great exploit this morning. What I want to show, on the screen before we start is a picture that we're going to put up there, and so that we will know what the Lord is up to. This morning, as we are talking about that God can do anything. Praise the Lord. That nothing is too hard for God to do. God is up to something. And this morning, I'm going to share on the topic that says, prayer is the locomotive of life. And I repeat that, prayer is the locomotive of life. So we put up there, it's on the screen, there is a locomotive. As you can see, that the locomotive is the head of the train and pulling wagons or carriages. And as you can see, it's a prophetic picture, in fact, and it tells us more. Now, what I want to point this morning is that prayer is a lifestyle, okay? You are not forced, you should not be forced to pray. Prayer should be a lifestyle. It has to come naturally. It's become part of you, part of your fabric, part of your DNA as a child of God. So it's important for us to understand that. So though the picture has been switched off, what I want to remind someone this morning is that, as you can see the locomotive pulling the train, pulling wagons, because when the locomotive has been made, it has been made for the aim or the purpose of pulling the train, okay? So our life is comparable to a train. You have wagons that you need to pull every single day. You have your mortgage wagon. You have your family stuff wagon. Pastor Sean, you have lots of wagons there. Okay. You have every department in the church, in the local church, is a wagon. Okay. That the senior leader should be pulling every single day. All right. So it takes power. It takes courage. It takes boldness. It takes faith. So prayer life keeps you moving. Okay? Without prayer, you are in crisis. Without prayer, you can't even go further because you need prayer every single day. Jesus started the day with prayer and ended the day with prayer. So it's important for us to understand that concept as I move on. Prayer is a spiritual communion with God. Okay? It's a communion. It's a place where you open up yourself to God, and a place where you surrender to God, a place where you give God what comes from within, from your heart. It's important for us to understand that. Prayer drives us closer to God. It's important. So every activity that we do on a single day, it has to be seasoned with prayer. Okay? You go to work, pray. You start in your car, pray. Even Jonah prayed in a fish. You know that? In Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, if you read in your Bible, you will discover that Jonah prayed in the fish, the belly of the fish. So you can pray everywhere, anywhere, anytime. When you are driving, you can pray. But I'm not saying that when you are driving, close your eyes as you drive. No, that's what I'm saying. While you are driving, you should have a prayerful attitude. That's the point. One day I was in Malaysia, probably driving in a countryside road, And you know there are no road sign, you know, in terms of limiting your speed. So as I was driving, and I kept a prayerful attitude while I was driving, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came. No, the Holy Spirit can come to you anytime, even when you are driving. So you have to have that sensitivity, being all the time high in the Spirit while you are driving. So as I was driving, and then the Holy Spirit came and said, Charles, you better slow down. So what's wrong? I'm driving normally, okay, probably 80 to 90 km per hour. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, you have to slow down. So I slow down. As I slow down, I didn't know that I'm gonna encounter a puncture. I'm gonna encounter, the left front tire is gonna burst. I didn't know. I didn't realize that. Until it burst. Yeah, true story. It burst. And because I slowed down, so I had a chance. I had the opportunity to control the car. I would have gone out of control. Very important to keep a prayerful attitude all the time. So while you are bathing, you can still pray. Hello? While you are cooking in the kitchen, you can still pray so that you will not overly measure the level of your salt. Okay? Talking about to women here. But also, we got good cooks. Men are good cooks, right? To cheer you up. He's the one of them.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Prayer is indispensable. Tell to the person next to you, prayer is indispensable. You cannot do without. You can't do without, okay? You need prayer. In your studies, you need prayer. Hello? You need prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Can you have the scripture up there, please? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Right. Pray continually. Two words only. What a powerful scripture. Pray continually. We always like this kind of scripture where we have, lots of words. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. You know, this kind of scriptures. Look, here, it's clearly, plainly saying, pray continually. Pray nonstop. Pray everywhere, anytime, like I said. 1 Thessalonians was written in a time when Paul planted a church in Thessalonica. So he planted a church in Thessalonica, and after planting a church, so it took about 2 to 3 sort of years. Later on, then he realized that he had to write to the Thessalonian Christian down there. Why? Because they were persecuted. And the persecution was in the form of stoning, beatings, crucifixion, and all that. So lots of things going on there. So they were not in good place, so to speak. And Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them to be true to their faith, to keep on going. So when you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you will realize, no, first chapter 1, when you realize that the first verse, he did not talk about prayer. But the second verse, Paul said, I want to thank God for your life, mentioning you in our prayers. So Paul placed an emphasis on prayer because Paul understood that for his ministry to keep going, he needed prayer. He needed prayer. Somebody say, I need prayer. I need prayer. Now, coming back to the picture that we just showed you, it's important for us to understand that when the locomotive was designed, it was designed in such a way that it has to have power. Okay? So you can have gasoline power, diesel power, steam power. My father was a mechanical engineer in a railway company back then, many years ago. So he told us that he drove the steam locomotive, right? They have to put charcoal, you know, burning and to produce more power, okay? That kind of thing. So I kept that that story up to now. And what happened is that when you mix your prayer with the power of the Holy Spirit, anything can happen. Okay? So when you pray, pray as the Spirit leads you. Yeah. Pray as the Spirit leads you. When the Spirit said, don't do that. You don't pray because Jesus did a lot of stuff. So do it as the Spirit leads you. Okay? There were times when the Lord Jesus prayed for people. You know, he spit on the eyes. So they got the recovery of sight. Okay? In one way is the situation where prophets were asked, for example, in the Old Testament, prophets would ask people to go and immerse themselves in the Jordan, and they were healed. So there are different ways that God operates. Praise the Lord. And I believe that God will lead you as you continue to keep this prayerful attitude all the days of your life. So we must pray in faith, in accordance with God's will. Our prayer must rely on God's promises in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move to Acts chapter 3. Let's open our Bible to Acts chapter 3, verse 2 to 7. Book of Acts chapter 3, verse 2 to 7. We don't know the scripture. But God wants to tell us a few things from this scripture. Acts chapter 3, verse 2 to 7. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple court. Verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Verse 4, Peter looked straight at him as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Verse 5, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Verse 7, finally, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Wow! What a wonderful story. I have 3 points that I would like to cover. Number one is sight. It's taken from verse 4. Peter looked straight at the lame man, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Now, sight has two dimensions. There is what we call the natural sight and the supernatural sight. Okay? We generally are moved as we look at the natural sight, or we moved towards the natural sight, as these are the things that surround us, the things that we live on a daily basis. Natural sight is, or I would probably say at most of the time, misleading. Okay? So when you are praying, you cannot rely on natural sight or what you see. You want to rely on the eyes of faith. Natural sight is misleading. Let's figure out. Here comes John and Peter in front of this lame man. They came, and probably John was looking at Peter to see what was going on, or what was he planning to do. And Peter approached the man and said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, or what I have, I give to you. God has deposited in your life tremendous, tremendous anointing that you can use. You can only realize the deposit God has placed into your life until you pray. So you go to pray. Let me put it this way. Let's say in the atrium there, someone who is not feeling comfortable, okay? And all of a sudden, the person needs prayer. What are you going to do? Let's look for Pastor Sean. What is Pastor Sean? What is Pastor Sean? Oh, call Pastor Sean to come and pray. Hello? No. God has placed you there. God has given that opportunity to pray for the person. Don't wait for a super healing evangelist. In fact, there is no title or even healing evangelist in the Bible. Yes. If you see that, show me that after the preaching. There is no title such as that. There is no such a title in the Bible. healing evangelists. Hello? God gives themselves this kind of title to impress the community, to impress the world, or to be the spotlight, or whatever you may call it. So it's important for us to understand God was not moved by what he saw at the time of creation, as from Genesis chapter 1, beginning from verse 1 to 2. God was not moved by sight, by the natural sight. God sees beyond the natural. Praise the Lord. God sees beyond the natural. And with the measure of faith God has given to each one of us, God has given us that supernatural ability to see beyond what we see in the natural realm. Important. That's very, very important. Natural sight hinders prayers. Hello? Natural sight would hinder your prayer. You have to have the ability with the gut that gives you the Holy Spirit to see beyond what you see with your eyes. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and love and of sound mind. Hallelujah. It's important for us to understand that. Let me just read a portion of a quote here, a book written by Dr. Alfred E., a friend of mine. Let me read it. Prayer is a supernatural activity and releases supernatural power. Why did Jesus do in a crisis? Or why did he respond? He prayed. Let me say it again. Jesus prayed. In fact, when we start the day with prayer and build up that prayerful attitude within us, it will keep us going the whole day. Okay? So when you reach your workplace, you know how to act. Because you are praying on the inside. Praise the Lord. So sometimes it's important for us to understand that this principle of natural sight and spiritual sight. But the Lord will help us as we keep moving. Let me quickly say a few words of what I've encountered in the past. Once upon a time, I was bullied. Many years, I can't remember exactly the year, but it was probably between 8 and 12 years old. I was 8 to 12, something like that, I think. And we went to a place where, with my friends, with my peers, probably was after school. And what happened is that a friend of mine wanted to beat me up. He said, I want to beat you up today. I don't know, what's wrong with you in our relationship? My brother, what's wrong? I said, what's wrong? Tap on your shoulder. He said, no, I have to teach you a lesson. I said, what's wrong? And he was probably older than me. Yeah, he was older than me, probably of like 5 years or something, probably. And so he positioned himself. So I was probably where the pulpit is, and he was standing probably five meters away, and he said, I have to beat you. And someone came there with dirt on both of his palms. Do you know that kind of games? He says, so the first one who's going to throw off the dirt will kick off, will start. So as I was standing there trembling, because he was taller than me, and kind of I was thin, huh? Don't see me because I put some weight now. This is because of beggars in Australia. In Malaysia, I was not like this. Anyway, in brackets. And then this man, he pushed himself. He wanted to run. And what was funny in his method of fighting was he would first of all do like this, push on this, and then he would run to kick someone. You don't need to do that if you have power. You don't need to do that. You have to be as close as, as close as possible to the person and give a punch, right? That should be the way of fighting. Why should you go 1 kilometer away and run to make a punch? So that's what he did. So to cut a long story short, I would keep on watching. And as he positioned himself, he ran the first time. He tried to kick me, and I escaped. I was just watching, the movement of his feet. And the second time, he positioned himself, and he ran again. And I escaped again.
And the third time, that was the last one. The third time, he ran away. This time, he ran with the best of his ability. Okay? He wanted to fish me. This person has to die now. So he ran away. And this time, he came like a bullet.
Have you ever heard about the athlete like Usain Bolt when he runs? It makes some noise, yeah? 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 Oh, I could hear.
And I, with my best ability, I escape again. This time, he fell on the ground, and both his front teeth, he hit the ground, and he started bleeding. That was the end of the game. That was the end of the fight. See? So who won? So who won, finally? I won. I won.
Second point. The first one was sight. The second one is frustration. Acts chapter 3, verse 5. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them.
Every single day, we build up expectation in life.
And we think that should be the way we should go. Father God, this is the way you should go with me. So we dictate God what he has to do.
No. God doesn't work like that. His ways are higher than our ways.
Acts chapter 3, verse 5, the lame man expected, he expected an offering. He expected something. Thank you, brother. He expected something from Peter and John.
But he didn't get what he expected from them.
There are times when we go to God with a long list of wants or likes. This is what, Father, I want you to do. You know, since the beginning of this year, see, January up to now, this is what I want you to do. You know, over 10 boxes. Father, so far, you have ticked only two. The eight remaining. Please, I'm getting fed up, you know. I'm running late, you know, because it's going to be the end of the year. You know, I have to celebrate, you know. Christmas, you know, I believe that when Christmas clocks, you know, we will all celebrate, you know, and say, and we count my blessing. I want to count my blessing. So we go to God with a song, counting your blessing, but in the wrong way. And frustration, you get frustrated in the traffic, you know, on the traffic, you know, you get frustrated. You get frustrated when in a bank. Now, especially in Africa, some banks, you don't have this, electronic system where you have to wait, you know, to get your ticket and wait. No. In Africa, you have to be the strongest in the queue. So you push it on, you push it on. Give me way. You know? So people get frustration. Frustration is a part of our life. Okay? Never be surprised when you get frustrated or you get disappointed. Hello? You will get disappointed in one way or another. Huh? It will always happen, yeah? Okay? It doesn't sound good to you.
Behind every disappointment hides an appointment. Behind every disappointment, there is an appointment. Okay? God cannot contradict himself in relation to his promises. So we have to know that frustration is always part of human's life. So this man, the young man, was completely disappointed, and for some reason, he expected silver and gold. He didn't get silver and gold. But you know what? When we place our expectation before God, God will give us the best. The best. God will always give us the best and the highest. Okay? And look, this man, because he was expecting silver and gold from Peter and John, and John was just looking. You know, I kind of figured out. John was just looking at Peter, what he was doing. And then Peter said, no, you know, give me your hands. And then, you know, you pull him up, and the person's feet became strong, and so on. And what a wonderful God. Oh, hallelujah. God is about to give the best to someone today. God is about to give the best to you. But God wants you to empty yourself of your frustrations, okay?
empty yourself of a kind of a preconceived request, preconceived petition. It's all there. God, I want this to happen this way. That was the lame man attitude or position. He wanted that way. But do you know what? God has the best for each one of us. And I thought someone would say amen to that. To close this point is that when we go to God with our frustration, God will change our frustration to fruition. Fruition is a state where, a season where God puts you, or God will put you in a wow moment. God puts you in a wow moment. That's fruition. A wow moment, when God does something that you did not even ask. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that he will do immeasurably above what you can ask or imagine. Okay? Anything can happen. We are talking about anything can happen Sunday. God is about to do something in your life. And somebody should shout amen to that. What consumes your mind would potentially control your life. Let me repeat that again. What consumes your mind would potentially controls your mind. So the lame man was, the mind was sort of cloned, or trapped by that preconceived thought or idea that today I will have to go home with silver, I have to go back home with silver and gold. That's it. That was the preconceived thought that he had. But God had a different idea or a different thought, is to change the life of this person and to give him the best and the highest. Frustration will always come our way. But the Lord will help us. The Lord will give us the ability. The Lord will turn our frustration to something else which is better, which is lasting, which is good. Last point is called declaration. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." dear. When you have gone past the natural sight stage and you have gone past the frustration stage, what is expected of all of us is to declare. Okay. I want to say something now. No, don't miss this one. This is, I think, one of the strongest points in this preaching. During your time of frustration, that is the very moment that you have to declare. Well, we do the opposite. Frustration is kind of box us down or kind of push us away or kind of put us in a position that we even question our faith, we even question our identity in the Lord. Declaration. Even as we are going to close this prayer or this session, it's important for us to understand that declaration is the heartbeat of a child of God, of a son of God, of a daughter of God. You have to declare the promises of God. Because God always watch over his promises to see them come to pass. Peter spoke. He spoke firmly. Peter spoke firmly. Peter knew that the God that he encountered, even when he denied Jesus, that same God is still alive. Your Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. Praise the Lord. Declaration has to be done. You have to go, stay there, go out there, reach out, pray with boldness, pray fearlessly, speak out the promises of God.
Never be disappointed or frustrated by anything that you see around you, because the Lord will back you up. And finally, as we turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, 26. I'm closing with this one. Romans chapter 8, 26.
In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. But we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot be expressed. Okay. Yeah, please keep the scripture first. Right? Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. I like this portion of the Bible from New King James Version because the word is in plural. And for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or expressed. When we keep this prayerful attitude all the time in our lives, and even as when God put in our heart a sense of urgency or a situation that we should be praying for, even when we go to a stage where, to a place where, to a level where we don't have words to speak out, the Holy Spirit will pray with and for you. He will always be there for us. He will always be there to present our request to God and say that my son, my daughter, right there, down there, has this request. But I want to present that to you. The Holy Spirit is always there for us. He will always be there for us. He will always be there for us. If you are sick today, the Holy Spirit will touch you. You are frustrated, the Holy Spirit will remove your frustration and replace it with fruition. Or you may be in a place where, or in a situation, in a condition where the natural side is controlling you too much. But God is telling you, my son, lift up your eyes to where your help comes. Psalm 121. Oh, my help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of the heaven and the earth. This morning, because anything can happen, the Lord is about to heal the sick. God is about to lift you up, to strengthen you, and to give you hope. Yes, back to you. God bless you. Give a song. Let's give God a round of applause.
Thank you for listening to C3 Hobart Online. If this message has impacted you in any way, please don't hesitate to contact us at c3hobart.org.au.